somewhere, someplace, this very minute perhaps, the air is filled with that exciting sound you've just heard. It signifies activity on the part of those whose duty it is to enforce law and order. Some of these representatives of justice wear blue uniforms with silver shields openly displayed. Some of them wear plain clothes, their symbols of authority hidden away. But whether the men are in uniform or not, the criminal takes to his heels or traps, shakes with fear whenever he hears. Today's radio play, Wings of Death, is based on another thrilling adventure of that master plainclothesman, Mr. H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police, which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst's Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. A man stands in a patch of woods, looking down at two figures sprawled on the grass and twigs at his feet. A woman silently joins him.
All this.
Ernest.
They are dead.
You saw it happen?
Oui.
Well, it doesn't matter. I go to the police.
Do not be a fool. You kill them without a song. No one need ever know what has happened. Except their friends.
I begin to see.
No one can connect you with it. Listen. The roadster, it has a rumble seat.
See.
Open it.
There.
No. I will help you put them in the back. The woman first.
Careful.
There we go. No.
No.
The man.
Listen. What is that?
Oh, nothing. Do not be so nervous. Shut the back and lock it. The bodies will serve as a warning. Leave it to me.
Very well. If you are sure...
No one can never trace you. How could they? The bodies will be found many miles from you.
Well, Ashton Wolfe, what do you make of it?
It looks to me, Bertie, as though they'd been flung out of a passing automobile.
You've hit the nail on the head, sir. An automobile flashed by with dim lights just before I stumbled across these two.
What did this car look like, Constable?
Well, sir, it was a roadster. Yes, I'm sure of it. Dark gray, I think. Well, at any rate, some such drab color. That's all I really saw. I didn't pay much attention to it, you understand, as I haven't found these two on the pavement as yet. If I'd known...
If.
There's an abrasion on the man's chin and nose. You see, he fell head first.
Yes. But look, Bertillon,
yes?
There's not a trace of blood on his cheek or neck. He's been dead at least 24 hours.
You're right. Let's have a look at this poor girl. Here, help me lift her. Easy now.
By Jove.
What's the matter?
There's a knife stuck in her back.
Ooh, and dried blood on the blade and handle.
Who are these people, I wonder? Do you know them, Constable?
I know the poor woman. That is, I've seen her dancing at the Bell Cabaret here in Paris. She was billed as Marquita, the dancer from Mexico.
You're sure?
Certain, sure.
I see. Now, what about the man? Do you know him?
Never saw him before, sir. Of course, Marquita had lots of admirers. Maybe some jealous fool killed them both.
The constable may be right, Ashton Wolfe. You see that dance hall there? The bodies are directly in front of it. How do we know she hasn't been killed as a result of a quarrel in there or by a jealous lover?
You're falling right into the trap, Bertillon, when you suggest that.
Uh-huh.
Offhand, I should say the murders were committed some distance from Paris and the bodies dumped here to mislead us.
How do you figure that, Ashton Wolfe?
I'll tell you later. Dr. Moffat, of course, will tell us exactly how they died.
How they died, we know already. They were stabbed to death. The knife is still in the girl's back.
A knife is, but that isn't what killed them.
I see in the paper they found the bodies of a man and a woman last night in front of a dance hall in the slum section of Paris.
Oh, is that so? Well, what do you know about that?
It only goes to show that you never can tell what may happen when you visit a place you're not supposed to.
Right. Does the paper say who were the unfortunate ones?
Let's see. The dead woman has been identified as Senorita Marquita, a dancer from Mexico. And the man was known to police as André Ladouce, a member of the famous Black Leopard gang.
Well, André, I should not be surprised if they were right.
Nor I.
Does the paper say how they died?
I have not read that far. Let's see. The police are convinced they both were shot by skillful archers from South America with hunting arrows.
Henri.
Such an arrow has a long point but no barb. The victim, shot in the back, died instantly, according to the police surgeon. Afterwards, to lead inquiries astray, a knife was driven into the other wound, but not quite in the same direction.
How could they tell that?
Well, the double cut was plainly visible since the knife was used when the victims had been dead for some time. And
it is uncanny.
You said you were sure no one could trace it to me.
Courage, Henri. They have no suspects yet, have they?
No.
You see. How could they connect it with you? The bodies were found in Paris. We are in Beauvais, 600 miles away.
Well, Bertillon, you're going to enjoy a little trip to the sunny spot for shady people.
What do you mean, Agent Wolf? Have you some news of the fellow with the bow and arrows?
Yes. Things are beginning to move, and so are we. We're heading down to Monte Carlo, Bertillon.
Why didn't you warn me? I haven't even brought a toothbrush.
Well, you can get what you need after we arrive.
But what makes you so sure this won't be a wild goose chase?
I found evidence that made me suspect we'd find our man in southern France.
What was it?
Wait, I'll tell you when the time comes. Now, I've learned a few things about our friends, the Black Leopard.
For instance?
Well, you remember the anonymous letter which tipped us off?
Yes.
Such detailed information could only have come from one of the gangs. Now, I figure it was the leader.
Why?
He wanted his gang put out of the way so he'd be free to enjoy the spoils all by himself.
Why do you think this case has anything to do with that?
Those emerald earrings we found on the dead woman were part of the stuff stolen by the Black Leopard.
Oh.
I figure she and the man were on the trail of the refugee leader, and we're going to kill him to square account.
I see.
Now, the leader was a Peruvian.
Which would account for the use of a Maya Indian's bow and arrows.
You're catching on, Bertillon. And the Sûreté at Nice has wired that my description of the probable suspect fits a man by the name of Henri Duval, who lives just above Beauville.
Duval? I've never heard of him. He isn't in our files.
No, but if everything works out, he soon will be. The Sûreté reports Duval as being a quiet, inoffensive sort of man. His hobby is archaeology, and he spent a lot of money digging for prehistoric and Roman remains.
Speaking of remains, why didn't this Duval, if he's the killer, why didn't he dump the bodies into the sea from some cliff or bury them in the mountains instead of carting them all the way to Paris?
That's the puzzler, I must confess. My own theory is that it was done as a warning to others of the gang not to try any further tricks.
We're dealing with a clever man, Ashton Wolfe.
Well, while you were getting the autopsy report, Bertillon, I learned that 10 days ago, a man and woman, strongly resembling the victims of the arrows, left the car at Fontainebleau and proceeded south by train.
Resemblance isn't proof.
Wait. The garage man there is almost positive he heard the man call the woman Marquita.
That's better. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yes, my dear Bertillon. We're getting almost to Beauville.
I'm glad you came to see me, gentlemen. Of course, I'd be glad to give you any information you desire.
Thank you, Brigadier.
Very good of you, I'm sure. Tell us, Brigadier, is Duval married?
No, but he's visited a great deal by a very charming lady, Madame Annette Prenier, a dashing sportswoman. Her infatuation for Duval is the talk of the town.
Was she ever with a circus?
Not professionally, although I believe she trained for an acrobat when a girl.
Ah, Bertillon, there we have the daring, muscular woman who helped carry the bodies to the car.
But, gentlemen, that is impossible. Neither Duval nor the lady have been away recently.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. In fact, the lady was seen on the day you mentioned, stretched out lazily in a lawn chair reading a book. She couldn't possibly have been in Paris.
How do you know so definitely? The gardens of the villa are some distance from the road.
Please close that door and I'll tell you.
At once.
Well?
Well, I'm somewhat infatuated with this charming lady myself.
No.
Indeed, Brigadier. And so you saw the lady of your dreams in the garden that day.
Well, of course, I only saw her from the road, but I recognized her by the green dress and silk scarf she wears a great deal.
I see. And what about Duval? Did you see him, too?
Oh, yes. I met him about 5 PM with his hammer and specimen box. He's been collecting bits of old stones.
Well, I guess that's that, Ashton Wilson.
Thank you, Brigadier. By the way, you haven't by any chance a photograph of Madame Prenier?
Oh, yes, I have. I carry one in my wallet. But duty comes first, I suppose. Yes, here it is. But I'm sure Madame Prenier isn't mixed up in this.
Ah, a snapshot of her. Standing by a powerful roadster. Well, she's very attractive, Brigadier. Congratulations.
Thanks. May I have that photo back when you're through with it?
Certainly. We'll just have it copied and enlarged. This car here, what color is it?
Gray or out of tan, I think. Funny, I never really noticed.
But sort of a drab color, would you say?
Yes.
Remember the description given by the constable in Paris, Ashton Wolf?
Yes. Well, Brigadier, we'll be going. Thanks very much.
Not at all. Call on me at any time you think I may be of service.
We will.
Well, Ashton Wolf, what do you think?
I think we're on the right track. I think the plotters were aware of the Brigadier's infatuation and made use of it. What could be a better alibi than the head of the local police?
You may be right. What are we going to do now?
I'm going to have this snapshot enlarged and have inquiries made along the roads from here to Paris. This car must have stopped for gasoline and water somewhere. And then, tonight...
Yes, tonight?
We'll take a look around that patch of woods back of Duval's villa. But we'll have to watch out for the wings of death.
You mean Morels?
Yes, they're nasty, silent things. One whiz, and we'll be lining up for halos and hearts. Walk carefully, Bertillon. Throw your light down close to the ground. That's it.
All we need to find is a weapon, and we'll have our case. The lucky thing that old fool of a brigadier is in love. We've never been able to obtain the identification of the car without his romantic snapshot. We've proved it was her car en route to Paris.
And Duval?
Yeah?
Must have put on her dressing scarf and sat in the lawn chair. Look here, Bertillon. A patch of trampled leaves.
And a dark spot where they're matted down. This looks like the place the job was done.
Now for the bow. It must have been buried someplace here.
Uh-huh. Here are the tracks of the automobile. We're on the right trail.
You go that way, Bertillon. Look for freshly dug earth. I'll look around here.
Pull up your hands, quick.
What are you doing in my woods?
Romney Duval.
Huh?
Oh, I'm just taking a stroll.
You can take a stroll out to the road, quickly. If you don't start before I come free, I make it necessary to carry you out.
Like you did the others, eh, Duval?
I don't know what you're talking about. One. Two.
Drop that gun. I've got you covered, Duval.
Nice work, Bertillon. Hold out your hands, Duval. I arrest you for the murder of André Ledoux and the dancer Marquita.
You have no proof.
Oh, yes, we have. Right here.
The bow.
And the two blood-stained arrowheads.
Well, Duval, you might as well confess.
Who told you to come here?
Nobody told me. I found evidence that pointed to this section.
What was it, Ashton Wolf? You said you'd tell me later.
In the clothing of the man Ledoux and in the hair of the woman Marquita, I found several dead glowworms.
Well...
this is the only part of the country where glowworms exist.
Be sure to read the unusual account of how the bodies of tiny fireflies found on the bodies of a murderous victim led the police so swiftly and unerringly to their quarry. It will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer. Play. Red flares cast an eerie glow over the sea of upturned faces. Voices are raised in excitement and fervor. The rails of a wooden platform are extravagantly decorated with bunting, placards, pictures, slogans, and national flags. It is the night before the election for the office of prosecuting attorney. The last chance to promise heaven and earth, not to mention a few rainbows and pops of gold. And the political organizations are making the most of it. Radio.